I'm looking at this map that is now the map du jour in the Boston public school system. It's known as the Peters projection, and it doesn't look like the world I live on. Or maybe it does. Maybe it looks more like the world I live on than I could have possibly known. I know the exact person to answer these questions and many more when it comes to maps and cartography. Matthew Edney is the man we need to speak with. And fortunately for us, Mr. Edney, the Osher Professor in the History of Cartography at the University of Southern Maine, and also the director of an unbelievably in-depth project, the History of Cartography Project for the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is on the phone with us this morning. Matthew, thank you for being available.
Thank you for having me.
I must tell you, this was a bit of a shock to me. The Boston Public School System deciding that the map that they have used as sort of their go-to map, as a world map, for a long time now, really not the best representation of the world if you're going to use a flat map to represent the world. Were you at all surprised to see this news come out of Boston that they've decided to make the switch from the so-called Mercator projection to the Peters projection world map?
I wasn't surprised in the sense that people have been doing this for several decades. I was surprised to see it now. This is an argument that was big in the 80s when Arno Peters began to effectively proselytize for his map projection.
Arno Peters, the gentleman who created the so-called Peters projection, the map that the Boston school system has chosen to move to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he began this pitch saying his projection is the best projection in the world. And a lot of people, like UNESCO, World Council of Churches, and so on, adopted it because Peters did make some significant points about the flaws in the Mercator projection. But at the same time, Peters made a whole host of unwarranted claims about the nature of maps and map projections. When you get down to it, it is impossible to represent the round earth on flat paper without some kind of distortion. And the distortions basically boil down to two. You can either have a map that is what we say equal area, in which the ratios between areas on the map are the same as the actual areas on the ground. And the Peters projection is an equal area projection. The other kind of distortion that you can minimize and eliminate is the distortion of shape or angles. It's called conformality.
Okay.
And a conformal map like the Mercator projection will have the shapes of areas look like what they look like on the globe.
But the size is off.
But the size is off. So either you have a projection like Peters. Well, I mean, there's millions of projections, and they all have different properties, and there are many that have no property whatsoever. They just look nice. but if you're going to have a mathematical property, it's either equal area or conformality. And a conformal projection like Mercator distorts area, and an equal area projection like Peters distorts shape. And the thing that has always annoyed academics like me is that neither of them are actually particularly good projections.
Why do these two projections manage to essentially dominate the industry that is world maps across the world?
Well, they haven't actually dominated the world.
Okay.
Maps vision. I mean, this is one of the myths that Peters created and everybody latched into. And is rereading the Guardian's piece about this from last weekend. Mm-hmm. They bought into this hook, line, and sinker.
They've been sold a bill of goods by Peters from back in 1974.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So Peters argued that Gerald Mercator created this world map in 1569, and from that point on, it was the only world map that we've used, at least in the West. And it has significantly distorted how we think of the relative sizes of places. And the problem is that there's actually been lots of different world maps that have been used even well into the 19th and 20th century. It's just that U.S. manufacturers in particular, to some degree British and European, German, tended to emphasize the Mercator projection through the 20th century. But there are plenty of other projections, and there's always been scholars and publishers saying, no, we need a different kind of projection to show the world. The problem with the Mercator projection is, in order to have a very particular property that of straight line on the map cuts the meridians at a constant angle, Mercator had to distort polewood regions significantly. You cannot actually show the poles on the Mercator projection. They're at infinity in each direction.
So that's why the land masses look so significantly different size-wise. You've taken what is, in essence, a single point in space, the pole of the Earth, and you've turned it into, you've taken it from a point to a line. About the only other significant distortion you could make would be to take that point and turn it into a plane.
Yeah. So what they've done, what Mercator had to do, yes, so the pole becomes a point, from a point becomes a line the length of the equator, and then that line is then positioned at infinity away from the equator. So as you get towards the poles, distortions increase exponentially.
It sounds like a funhouse mirror effect.
Well, it is. And lots of people have, lots of geographers have said, no, we can't use Mercator projection because it sucks. But Mercator made it, in principle, he was a land lover. He never went to sea, but he had his idea of how mariners should operate on the principles of academics at the time. Mariners didn't really like the projection, but the idea for Mercator was you could define a straight line across an ocean. That's your bearing. That's what you take. And you just stick on that bearing, and you don't have to do anything else. Forgetting, of course, that sailing ships in the 16th century are, thereafter are tied to currents and winds and all the rest of it.
Cruising along powered by thousands of diesel horsepower that can fight things like currents and winds.
Exactly. So Mercator projection does get used for sea charts after 1800, primarily because by that point people can actually figure out where they are at sea and actually use it in an effective manner. But anyway, so all of this is to say that the Mercator projection, for various reasons, gets to be used extensively, not universally, but extensively. And it does create this sense of having larger areas towards the north getting larger and areas towards the south. So the United States looks bigger compared to Africa than it really is. British imperialists love the projection because Britain ends up looking much, much bigger compared to India than it actually was.
And you this sounds akin to telling my girlfriend, this is 6 inches.
Your girlfriend says that?
when you consider the variety of projections that are available and what appears to be a level of buy-in here, not just from the Guardian in their report, but also from public school systems, is that a reason for concern, sir?
I don't think it's a reason for concern. Boston Public Library is doing this for political reasons that I personally agree with. As an historian, the way we tell history is very, very, very heavily slanted towards the European Western tradition.
Yes.
And they're trying to back away from that. So in principle, the adoption of the Peters projection is good. And more particularly, if you're going to start mapping statistics, now there's a whole upsurge in the last few years about digital mapping and online mapping. You go onto Facebook and there's 10 maps that explain history and all these maps of political voting patterns and population distribution, and so on. If you're going to do that kind of mapping, you have to have a base map that's an equal area projection, because otherwise the visual impact of the map is going to be distorting. If you're mapping population density, let's say, you don't want to have your areas, because your density is an aerial function, you don't want your areas to be distorted. So you need an equal area projection. That is absolutely fundamentally important. But there just happen to be, there happen to be a lot better other equal area projections that aren't quite as ugly as the Peters and don't come with this baggage of incorrect, shall we say, assertions on the part of Peters. And so when you get the clip from the West Wing, that all the news reports seem to be including, they're just taking Peters' arguments that a map projection has to have fidelity of axis and fidelity of that, and they're all absolutely bogus properties. No geographer, map librarian, whatever, has ever discussed projections in those terms. Peters made up these properties to say there are only two projections in the world that have these properties, Mercator and mine. And Mercator is bad, therefore use mine. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of other properties and aspects to consider. And in that sense, why don't you use Max Eckert's number four projection? It's, to my mind, a beauty aesthetic.
You're sending listeners madly Googling for yet another map projection right now.
What they really should do is go to the U.S. Geological Survey online. They've digitized all of their bulletins that they published over the last 130 years.
Come on.
And there's one there called an Album of Map Projections by Phil Foxland and John Snyder, V-O-X-L-E-N-D. And it's great. It gives you a whole host of options. And it also gives you the mathematics to how to make them, if you're really into that.
It certainly sounds to me, we're speaking with Matthew Edney, who's the Osher Professor in the History of Cartography for the University of Southern Maine, among other occupations. It seems to me, Matthew, that this is absolutely a step in the right direction. If it will broaden the understanding of students with regard to the world in which they live, it'll stop a history, if you will, of inaccurate information being presented as gospel.
Right. Well, actually, what it does, I think, is it opens up a discussion about what is the best way to understand the world. There's always multiple ways to understand any kind of phenomenon. Then this is one way to say, well, you can look at it this way, you can look at it that way. Now, I was actually quite interested to see that the schools aren't ripping out every Mercator map in the schools,
right,
and going to replace them. They're introducing them as needed into certain grades, and so the students are actually going to be faced as they go through the grades with, first grade they'll see the Peters, and the second and third grade they'll see the Mercator projection. So they're going to get exposed to these differences, which is a really good thing. And I was talking to my students yesterday about typefaces. And I tell you, realize, back in the 80s, before the Macintosh came out in 84, nobody, except for very few graphic designers, were interested in typefaces and fonts. And now everybody is a font freak. We all have our favorite fonts and so on. So maybe we can get to a situation where the maps can be equivalent to typefaces. We can have debates about what's the best map based on aesthetics and all the rest of it. So either the Peters or the Mercator map could be considered to be the Comic Sans equivalent of world maps.
Matthew Edney is the Osher Professor in the History of Cartography for the University of Southern Maine, and he's also the gentleman serving as director of the History of Cartography Project undertaken by the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It's an exhaustive study and absolutely impressive in both scale and scope, sir. I hope we have the opportunity to speak with you on the radio again. Absolutely fascinating stuff, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Anytime I can talk about maps is a good morning. Thank you.